The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she had considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, and they neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then, who are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And you do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where neither thief approaches and moth destroys. And where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether it was Abraham in the Old Testament lesson, or Abel in the epistle lesson, or the ones that Jesus was speaking to, the word disciple or disciples covers them all. Usually when we hear the word disciple, we think of the dirty dozen, the 12. We are called, though, as Christians to be disciples of Christ. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But is that all there is? We are called to be a disciple of Christ. How does that fit into the idea that we are saved by faith? First of all, we have troubles defining the term discipleship. But it's an important term because what none of us want to hear, none of us want to hear the words from Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. There's a story by S.D. Gordon. I don't exactly know who he is, but he tells a story. In other words, you're not going to find this in the Bible. So don't go home and try to find chapter and verse because it's only a story. There's a story that after the ascension, Jesus was walking through heaven on some of the beautiful roads and seeing the tree of life planted on each side of the road. And the angel Gabriel joins him. Now, Gabriel's kind of curious about everything that happened when Jesus was on the earth. He says, Master, you died for the whole world down there, did you not? Jesus answered, yes. You suffered much too, didn't you, Lord? And Jesus answered, yes. So they all know what you did for them. Jesus says, no. There's only a few in Palestine who know it so far. So Gabriel says, well, all right, what's your plan, Lord, to get the message out to everyone? To get the message out that you died for them and shed your blood for them. What's your plan? Gabriel's expecting some grandiose plan, like the plan for the creation of the world. And Jesus answered, well, I asked Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and a few other fellows to make it the business of their lives to tell others. Then the ones that they told will tell others, and the ones they told will tell others, and the ones they told will tell others yet again, until it reaches the farthest corner of the world. And all will know the thrill and power and blessing of the gospel. So Gabriel says in this story, what suppose Peter fails? Suppose that John just doesn't tell anyone. Suppose Andrew and James chicken out and decide the pressure isn't worth it. What happens if they all chicken out? What then? Jesus replied to Gabriel, I don't have any other plans. I'm counting on them. Today, Jesus is totally counting on us to be his disciples. And we need to decipher what the term disciple means. First ingredient to a disciple is biblical wisdom. It's easy to get distracted by other things in the world while we're trying to be a disciple of Christ. This even happened to the apostles in the early part of the book of Acts, when from Acts 6:3-4, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. What the background of that is the apostles were so busy waiting on tables that they didn't have time to spread the word. So they chose 7 men called deacons to take over the work of feeding the people. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would come. Several times he assured the disciples he would send the Comforter, who would teach them and teach them all that he had said and instructed them to do. John 4:25-26 says, "All this I have spoken while I was still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Many set out to be disciples of Christ, but without the Holy Spirit working in them, they're doomed to fail. Also, as disciples of Christ, we got to realize that we're a target of Satan immediately. We have to be prepared to do battle at all times. Jesus says in Luke 14:31, "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Before somebody, quote, decides to be a disciple of Christ, they got to decide, is the cost worth it? Well, where do you get such wisdom of God if it's such an important part of being a disciple? Well, we get it from Jesus, the living word of God. Biblical wisdom makes us true disciples of Christ. Spend time in the word, studying it in Bible study, in worship, whether it's just you alone in your house, study his word. You know, how can we consider ourselves Christians if we don't spend time with Jesus? It's kind of like this. Imagine a football team where a player doesn't show up to any of the preseason practices, none of the practices during the season, none of the games, and he just comes to the big game right before Christmas. Now, if the team wins a championship, does he deserve a ring? No. Obviously not. They haven't spent the time with the team. People think that they can have a relationship with Jesus without spending any time with him. It makes about as much sense as when you were a single gentleman, the first girl you met, when you turned 18, you proposed to and married. Now that's ridiculous. But you take time to get to know someone figure out whether or not they're the right person. Spend time with Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:7, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." We have to give up everything that the world has to offer to follow him. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't do what we want and expect Jesus to be happy. In a book, well-known book, The Road Less Traveled, the author of the story tells us, the author of the book, I should say, tells his story about when he was 9 years old, riding his bike down a very steep hill. Going down the hill, it was fast, and he really got the acceleration going. But the problem was at the bottom was a sharp curve, and he always had to slow down. Well, one day, he was going down. He was flying along. He is really just into this bike ride, and he decides not to put on the brakes around the curve. Well, you know what happens? He learns how to fly. He flies into the woods, smashes the bike up, bends the front tire of his brand new bike to the point where it would never be useful again. He's all cut up and bruised, and he learned something that day. He said, "I learned, however, that the loss of balance is ultimately more painful than giving up required to maintain balance." In other words, it hurt too much. He should have slowed down. Following Jesus is not doing it our own way. Jesus wants, by the way, all of us. He does not want just part of us. He says, "Deny give up the world and follow him. Being a disciple means not holding back anything that we desire and sacrifice anything, even if it includes sacrificing ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. Speaking of serving God and man, there's a story of Ivan the Great, or Ivan the Terrible, as he's known. First real czar of Russia, he brought all of Russia together. He was a brilliant fighting general who drove the Mongols out behind him. But he was so busy fighting the Mongols that he didn't have time to pick out a wife, and he was getting older, and he did not have any heirs to succeed him on the throne. So his advisors come to him, and they point this out. Sire, you need an heir. And he says, I don't have the time to search all the capitals of Europe to find one. You go and find one for me. So they did. They searched all the capitals of Europe, and they found the princess of the kingdom of Greece. She was exceptionally beautiful and brilliant and charming. The king of Greece was thrilled to have an alliance between his kingdom and the growing kingdom of Russia. But he says, there's a problem. Ivan cannot marry my daughter unless he becomes a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. So they tell Ivan this. He says, no problem, I'll do it. He learned his catechism. I should remind my catechism students when I have them in a couple of years that Ivan learned the entire book for the Greek Orthodox Church in 2 weeks and could recite it. So I guess he was pretty enthralled with this young lady. Now, he had to be baptized in the river. Well, first of all, I should say he brought 500 men of his palace guard with him to Greece to get his bride. And the 500 men, while Ivan was being baptized, one rebaptized as well. Now, suddenly there's a problem. In the Greek Orthodox Church, which I did not know, and I'm assuming has changed since then, professional soldiers are not allowed to be members of the church because they're seen as blood letters. So they're not allowed to be a member of the church. Therefore, they cannot be baptized. So they came up with a solution. 500 priests and 500 soldiers went into the Mediterranean Sea. The soldiers took out their sword, held it up in the air, were fully submerged except for their sword arm and weapon. Every part of them was baptized except for one small part. That's where I say Jesus wants all of us, not part of us. We have seen the need for wisdom in being a disciple of Christ. We have to be willing to give up all things to serve him. And lastly, we must follow him. Do we really follow Jesus, or we just wait for that occasional blessing that he gives us? To follow means more than just being a fair weather follower or one that leaves when it gets stormy outside. That we are a follower even when it's bad, not just during the good times. Garibaldi, now most of you don't know who he is. In 1840s, Italy was fighting for its independence, and Garibaldi was a brilliant general. And he says to his men, now imagine trying to get recruits to sign on to these words. I offer neither pay, nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with all of his heart and not with his lips only follow me. Jesus calls us to be disciples, to have a full commitment. To paraphrase Garibaldi, let him who loves the Lord with his heart and not with his lips only be Jesus' disciples. To be a disciple means more than just calling ourselves a Christian. Salvation is free, but salvation can cost us our life. Final story. Volleyball was entered into the Olympics in 1964 in Tokyo. So the Japanese team trained hard under their coach 6 days a week, and it was brutal training. The women who went through it and the observers said it was more brutal training than any basic training they had seen. But he was determined to have a first-rate team. Some of the women who tried out for the team dropped out because they weren't willing to put up with things when things got rough. Hope you can see the connection there between our training as disciples and those who stick and those who leave. The training did pay off. They won the gold. And while the team was standing up there, they were all crying together. And they asked the team captain why they were crying. She says, "We all cried for two reasons. We had won the gold medal and fulfilled our expectations and that of the Japanese people. Even more, we cried because this would be our last game together. And even though we had been through so much pain and anguish, it was worth it. I'm sure we would do it all again." Their journey has been difficult, but they won the award at the end, the prize of gold. Sometimes our spiritual journey itself is difficult, but at the end of it, we are promised a gold crown if we are faithful. We must really understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and work hard to fulfill our end of the arrangement. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.